ABC Radio Darwin.
Healthy living, we know it. We know it in all aspects of our life. It's critically important. But why is healthy living so important for our libido?
Well, look, I think when we're in a good place in our lives, health-wise and psychologically, we tend to be a lot more productive and we tend to get things done that we want to get done and we tend to be more open-minded. There's more space in our minds for other things when we feel good because we're thinking, well, I've got this down, I'm winning, I'm good, and so we can make space for other things. I think health is so important because so often we're working with people with body image issues. So whether you're overweight or you're fighting a chronic illness, which, you know, goes back to taking medications. But if your health isn't really good, then you don't feel like being, like sharing yourself, if you know what I mean. Psychologically and emotionally is just as important because we need to be in a good space to want to be very vulnerable with another person in a passionate way. Because we are. When we get intimate with somebody, that's what we're doing. We're laying bare all of ourselves in front of another person and really risking everything. So we want to be in the best mental space and physical space for that.
And what about stress in that context?
Wow, stress is a killer. Stress is a killer for everything. Stress tends to suck out of the our lives all the pleasure and joy and sensuality. Stress puts us into a sort of animal primitive brain area where we're doing fight, flight, or freeze. And if we are having to pay bills we can't meet, or if we're about to lose our job, or if we're in our relationship is in a huge state of confrontation or conflict, that causes a lot of stress, which releases cortisol into our system and adrenaline into our system. And that's really putting us into the part of our brain which is constantly on the lookout for danger. And nothing about that is sexy.
When you are trying to live healthy, I think we all sort of know how to go about that in terms of eating well, exercise, try and get enough sleep. But how do you guide people around stress if you see that that's a really big issue with their own mental health and within their relationship?
So I think what we tend to do with stress is we try and look away from it. We try and push it away, push it down. Acknowledging that it's happening is the first thing, is to say, yeah, I'm really, really stressed. We want to relax the brain by relaxing the body. And so we can do that through exercise, physical exercise, eating healthy, making sure that our gut bacteria is very healthy. I mean, 90% of the serotonin is made in the stomach, not in the brain. And we can approach that in many different ways. But stress... funny enough, I was doing some training on the weekend by Bessel van der Kolk, who's the world leader in trauma. And research shows that the best intervention for trauma is for PTSD is yoga, not medication. And so we're going back to things about the body. And if we can learn to self-soothe our bodies through yoga, through Tai Chi, through movement, or through self-pleasuring, which is often a great use for self-soothing, then we can certainly help de-stress.
Okay, number one, live healthy. We know we have to live healthy, but if you haven't been trying to live healthy, you might have a little bit more impetus now to do so. Nurturing your relationship, this is sort of another given, really, but how do we do that?
I think a lot of people think that if your sex life, if it's on track, that means the relationship is good and you can just let the relationship go. It's all good. We don't need to focus on it. It's not true. We really need to focus on the relationship outside of the bedroom, making sure that we've got our rituals of connection with our partners. And I don't want to tell people that you've got to go on, you know, organize babysitters and go on big date nights and organize long holidays. And
you don't like date nights, do you?
I don't mind date nights. It's just that today, you know, especially if you've got kids, it's very difficult sometimes to organise. And
you don't need another thing to organise.
It's another thing to organise on your to-do list. I'm talking about connections and moments in your lifestyle while the kettle is boiling, being able to sit and have a hug together, cooking together, making sure you're having dinner at the table, walking the dog together, talking, an affectionate touch, cuddles and hugs and holding hands. Those bits of connection are really important to nurture your relationship.
What about flirting?
Flirting.
Can you still flirt with a long-term partner?
Absolutely, absolutely.
How do you do it?
Well, I think with desire, the main part of it is that you own the wanting. And flirting is where you're trying to get something you want. We assume that when you're in a long-term relationship, I've got what I want. And so we stop trying. But again, it's about being able to be vulnerable in that relationship, maybe make a little fun of yourself, you know, put yourself out there, even though you think you might be judged, and just be playful with it, not take it too seriously. You know, we've got so much technology we can make use of these days, a little sexting, a little, you know, a little playful fun. Let the foreplay start when you walk out the door to go to work, you know, and finish it off when you come home at night. Let it go all day.
How are you starting that when you walk out the door at the beginning of the day?
Well, sometimes a little role play doesn't hurt, you know, about, you know, I hope the road warrior is coming to town later, or, you know, it just something a little fun, saying I'll be home at six, you know, my husband won't be home, what time are you coming around? You know, playing a little game with it, just being a little, imagination is great, anticipation is what we really want out of our sex lives, which is, anticipation is something that's gone out the window.
This leads to another of your top tips, which I think, I'm going to skip number three, we're going to come back to number three. Number four, keep your erotic brain stimulated.
Yeah.
I think that really ties into what you're talking about just now. What does that mean?
Well, look, our erotic brain and our sexuality and desire lives in a very different place to our everyday operating brain. And we have to nurture that side of ourselves, because we have, I mean, Esther Perel is such a fantastic researcher on this subject, where she talks about home is where anchoring is, reliability, resources, dependability, love, that's home. Sexuality and desire lives in a very different place, and it's a place we visit. You know, even if you're self-pleasuring at home, you're doing it at times. It's not something you do all the time. And so we want to be able to help our brain go to that place a little easier by, we become a little desensitized, I think. These days we have sex all over the place, whether it's a lingerie shop you're walking past or an ad on TV, even Bonds, you know. We've got it all. We've become totally desensitized to it. And we also forget what gets our juices flowing. You know, how many people can say this is exactly what gets me going? We don't give it much thought anymore. So we need to keep our erotic library really stocked through stories or movies we've seen, or scenes in, you know, whatever it is we've watched, or erotic stories. We want to be able to keep some of that alive. And often it goes back to stuff that first got you going in your teen years. That stuff is key, because that's really what creates the first initial pathways of arousal that still gets us going today.
So what do you do with that information once you've identified what it might be for you or for your partner? What do you do when you're visiting that library?
Well, you want to check the book out. You want to go there and be able to get yourself into that space in your head. Guys don't need that as much as women do. I'm talking, this is from a female perspective. Women need their brain to be stimulated as much as physically. So our brain needs to be there. And so accessing the library, taking the book out, helps us get to that place a lot easier.
On ABC Radio Darwin and the Northern Territory, Nina Boyson, sex and relationships counsellor in Darwin. She joins us once a month to talk about stuff that might be impacting your intimate relationships. If you've got a question for her, if you've got an area that you'd like us to explore next time, you can text 0487 99 1057. But after a few conversations about libido and the things that impact it, little bit of a spruce up this afternoon with Nina's top five tips for desire. You've also put here on the list, accept that desire waxes and wanes. Why is that so important?
Because we are, like I said, we're so bombarded with messages about the perfect life and having the perfect Facebook life and the perfect Hollywood relationship, that our expectations get a little out of whack. And we're expecting, or maybe our partners or everybody's expecting, you should be up for it all the time, especially when it comes to men, and that's a complete fallacy. They are not up for it all the time. And for women as well, it's certainly our hormones play a role, stress levels play a role, things that are going on in your life play a role. So we can't have a consistent level of desire, and we've got to try and meet each other halfway.
How important is it to not misinterpret the lack of physical intimacy in your relationship, or a waxing and waning of physical intimacy?
Crucial. And I think it's how you communicate it. You know, we want to be able to turn towards our partner in times like that, rather than shutting down and withdrawing, so that the partner cannot feel so rejected. And just because you're not getting sex doesn't mean you're not loved.
Good point. Don't devalue the benefits of sex for your health and relationship. I think, again, the values for your relationship and that connection might be a given. But what about for your physical health?
Well, it is a great way of keeping health going, you know. The blood circulation helps. Pelvic floor exercises certainly help for Kegels for men and women. The release of dopamine and oxytocin, that, you know, the happy chemicals in the brain, and that sense of feeling connected, which is what the meaning of life is, essentially, is that feeling of connection. And so for your health, there's a myriad of ways that it makes you feel more confident, happier, satisfied, all those good things.
Nina, every time you come and speak to me, I write a list of about 500 other things that we'll have to put aside for next time or in a few weeks' time from now. But before we wrap up, and that was a real, you know, quick little journey through a Sprucer for our sex drives. We did a few weeks ago when we started this conversation, we were asking people to rate their libido. Mm-hmm. And we did hear from someone who rated their libido at a zero.
Right.
We didn't really get much of an opportunity to address what someone who finds themselves in that situation, giving themselves such a poor number in a relationship, and what it is that they might be able to do to move forward from there. You had a little bit of advice for someone finding themselves in that situation.
And look, it's often about the story we're telling ourselves. And so whenever, if someone comes to me, and I've had lots of clients coming and saying, it is dead, it is flatlining, there is nothing. But when we continue to talk, I find out that actually every now and again, they're self-pleasuring. And so it's not that desire is completely dead. Perhaps their relationship is in need of a tweak or an attunement. And again, making sure you've got access to your erotic library, feeding that erotic library, and not when you're engaging in physical stuff, not doing it because you feel coerced or that you have to, but that you can own the wanting, that I want to be pleasured, I want to have that in my life, and I want sensuality to make me feel good. You own that, then you want it.
Have you ever come across clients who you would confirm have a libido of zero?
I think there's a term called asexuality. And even though it's a thing, it's actually a very rare thing to have that as a genuine disorder. We're finding a lot of youth today are saying, well, I'm asexual. And actually, when there's a lot of exploration done, what we find is it's that they have social anxiety, or the fear of engaging in sexuality or a relationship is just too risky. And so they're declaring I'm asexual and saying, I'm not doing it.
So it's more common, less common?
It's less common. It's pretty
less common
rare
than
to have the actual, the clinical disorder, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. There you go. ABC Radio Darwin.